Today we're going to talk about words. Words. Let's look at a few facts about words. There are about 700,000 words in the English language, more than any other language in the world. The Bible contains, or the King James Version of the Bible, contains 773,746 words within it. A normal person will speak about 26,800 words each day, which is actually enough words to fill up a 500-page book in a week's time. The average person uses some 773,650,000 words in a lifetime. Now, I know a few people who speak a little more than that. I raised one that speaks a little more than that. And then we have those who would not even come close to that figure. But words is how we communicate. Words is how we let each other know what is on our mind and what we think by displaying them through our speech. Words are so important in life. Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 18 in verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, Jesus tells us something about words that should make every one of us stop and think very seriously about the words we speak. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. James tells us in James chapter 3 and verse 6 that our tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. So I think maybe we need to stop and realize just how important this gift that we have is, and how we can use it for great things, and then how we can use it to tear down great things. Think for a moment. The most important words that you have ever spoken in your life. No doubt some of the words that we say are useless. They don't mean anything at all. We have casual conversation, and we don't categorize them as important words. But I want you to think for just a minute, what are some of the most important words that you have ever spoken in your life? It could be words like this. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. We have several people in our congregation, several here today, who have spoken those words. And they're very important words to be spoken. Maybe you simply said the word, I do. Boy, isn't that a good-looking couple. I'm sorry, Pat. That's all I can think of. When you say I do to your spouse, those are important words, aren't they? Yeah. You know, you look at that screen and then you look at the pulpit and you can see that's a few shades of brown has gone by in time. Maybe it's these words. I promise to repay X amount of dollars in 360 installments over the next 30 years. Several of us have uttered those words. We may not have uttered those words, but we signed a piece of paper that they were on. Yeah, we know what that one is. What are your most important words in life? I want to suggest to you this morning that the 10 most important words in the English language, in any language, is found within the Bible. It comes from Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 that says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. These are the 10 most important words that you will ever speak. From the time you say your first word to the time you say your last. They're more important than I do. They're more important than a promise to pay back a loan. They're more important to the promise that you make the government when you enter into the military. They are by far the most important words that you will ever speak. Most of us in this room today have spoken those words, or at least have said, I do, when they were asked, do you believe these words? The confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, the word confession is found some 47 times within the Scripture. Now, this includes the words such as confess, confessed, confession, and confessing. We will find it to be a tremendously important word within the Bible. Some translations of the Bible use the word profession, which is the same time. In fact, the word profession is found some 12 times in the King James Bible. I don't know what the modern versions use. I didn't look it up. But those two words are the same. It has the same meaning. The word confession, as we know scripturally from the Bible, comes under two different headings. We have our confession of faith, in which we said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we also have the confession of sin, where we recognize and acknowledge our wrongs in life. Confession of faith, confession of sin. Now, what I want to deal with this morning is our confession of faith, which is the confession of Christ as the Son of the living God. We need to remember what Jesus said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is a grand proposition on our part that we believe who Jesus is, that he is indeed the Son of God. We are saying that we know that Jesus is the central focus of all of our hopes, of all of the dreams that we have that reaches beyond the grave. It underlies the whole scheme of man's redemption. And it all comes about because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If Jesus Christ was not the Son of God, that would make him the greatest imposter that the world has ever known. It would mean that the Bible is not the truth. The Bible is nothing more than a fable. And it would mean that no one would ever be put under the obligation of following him or serving him. But on the other hand, if this statement of confession is true, if Jesus' claims are true as to who he is, then every man is to profess and acknowledge that he is the Son of God. And we do obligate ourselves to follow him, to love him, and to serve him. And that's why we say it, folks. That's why we stand before man and we say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I want to go a little deeper into what confession actually is. If you go to the Webster Dictionary, we talked about Mr. Webster this morning in class. Very few people use Mr. Webster anymore. But I do. I don't trust Wikipedia. You go to Mr. Webster, he will say that confession is a written or oral acknowledgement of guilt on the party of one who is accused of an offense. You know, we see stories on TV all the time and reading the books and on the internet, people who admit they're wrong and they throw themselves at the mercy of the courts. They are confessing, yes, I did this. Have mercy on me, I did this. The New Testament word, confession, comes from the Greek compound word, homologio. It simply means the same. Homo meaning the same. Logio meaning to speak. So you speak the same. Every one of us in this room who are Christians have spoken the same thing. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're going to get tired of hearing me say that through this lesson, but I'm going to say it many times. We need to keep it on our mind. Who we serve, who we love, who we follow. It is the Jesus Christ who is the Son of God. This confession that we make is a unifying statement. The word confession is a word that brings every Christian together who has lived since the preaching on the day of Pentecost until the Lord comes again. It puts us into the same group. It gives us partnership in the same family. All who go to heaven during the Christian age will have said these words. No one will be there who has not. Every Christian makes the same confession that the Ethiopian eunuch made as he was traveling in his chariot. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Some translations of the Bible doesn't use this part of the verse. Stay away from that version. The Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's what he had to say in order to become a child of God. This statement is a 100% agreement as to who Jesus is as our Lord and Savior. This statement unifies us with God himself. You know, the psalmist David in Psalm 133 and verse 1, he said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Our confession says that we agree with that. Our confession says, is I stand by my brother in Christ. This confession says that we are all together in this family, in this unit, loving God, loving his Son, knowing who they are, knowing what they do for me. It is a unifying statement. Confession is a public statement. It is a public subscription to the creed that we follow that was given to us by God himself. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it is a requirement that we make this confession by mouth. It was commanded by Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Paul said it twice, that it is a confession to be made from the mouth. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not the nodding of the head. It's not the raising of the hand. It's not the signing of a card or a letter saying, I pledge. These things would not satisfy the requirement by God. The requirement by God is to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not only that, we are to profess Christ. Now, I said earlier, the word confess and profess come from the same Greek language. Profession seems to be more of a powerful word in the English language. We are to profess Christ, according to Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, he said. Lay hold on eternal life, he said, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses. Not only do we say it because we are commanded to say it because other people need to hear it. They need to know where we stand. They need to know what we believe. They need to know that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ because we believe that he is the Son of God. This statement is a turning point statement in our lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, the Thessalonians, they actually turned to God and stopped following the idols that they had been serving, and began serving the living and true God. Why? Because they had come to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And the next verse nails it home. It says, And then they wait to see for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And hearing that, and understanding that, that conviction turned them around. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were convicted of this statement, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, because Peter told him that. This same man that you have put to death is the Son of God. Now there's one thing that we need to understand. As important as these words are, as important as it is that we confess Jesus as God's Son, we need to understand that confession with the mouth is not enough. These words of confession must lead to action. If we are going to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we need to repent of our sins. We need to change our life. We need to put our life in harmony with God's will. This also means that we must subject ourselves to New Testament baptism. You know what New Testament baptism is? It is exactly what Peter called it on the day of Pentecost. Baptism. For the what? For the forgiveness of your sins. It's what Ananias told Paul. Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. You see, confession is with the mouth. It is the action that follows that completes the journey. And we need to know that. It includes the life that now you are obligated to live. You know, words mean nothing unless you put it into action. A life for Christ means nothing if you only verbalize it with your mouth. And friends, our actions verify our words. We can make promises all day long and never follow through with them. What does that make us? Liars. There's not another word for it. We can tell the world that I am a child of God, that I am a Christian, that I follow Him. And we can say it every day that we live, and if we do nothing to show it, we have spent a life of lying. And there's not another word for it. Our actions verify our voices. Because not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You see, friends, words are not enough. This is why the sinner's prayer can't save anybody. Why? There's no action involved. These are just words that are being spoken. And countless thousands of people will probably say it today watching their television. And it means nothing because nothing will change when they turn that TV off. There has to be some changing taking place if you're going to confess Christ. There has to be a change of life if you're going to follow Him. And yes, we do have to say these words. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But if we don't use it, if we don't put it into action, then we've wasted our breath. God's plan of salvation requires both words and action. So let me ask you in closing this lesson, have you uttered those 10 wonderful words in your life? Have you had that kind of faith, that kind of belief in God that you have said before mankind, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you haven't, today is the time to do it. Take your faith that you have in your Savior and utter those words. And then take the proper action that follows by changing your life, repenting of your sins, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. And when you do that, you will find that these words has led you to your salvation. And Christian friend, have you put those words into your life? You've already said them. Did you mean them? Have you lived it? Do you wake up every day with the thought, I'm going to follow and serve my Savior? If your life is not such that you follow God every day because you said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, then you need to make some changes to your life today. And mean it. I said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you will see that today in my life. Do that today. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.